Welcome to a podcast of The Mike Novak Show. You can listen to Mike live Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 Central on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Flavorful golden brown turkey is the crowning glory of your holiday dinner table. And real butter helps you serve a butter-baked masterpiece. Here's how to butter-bake your turkey. After stuffing the bird, pat lots of soft butter all over, especially on the drumsticks, breast, and wings. Next, cover the entire turkey with cheesecloth dipped in melted butter to protect it from shrinking in your oven. Then bake it slowly, without a lid, never higher than 300 to 325 degrees. Every half hour, baste with butter. When it's golden brown, you'll serve your family and guests the juiciest, tenderest turkey ever because you use butter. This year, bake your holiday turkey the American Dairy Association way with real butter.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're screwed.
Live from the beautiful Showcase Studios on North Milwaukee Avenue in Chicago, in between Andy's Deli and Lido Banquets, and just a punch key's throw away from the Polish capital of the Western Hemisphere. It's The Mike Novak Show, Chicago's only locally broadcast deep green gardening and environment program, heard every Sunday right here on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM.
Good planets are hard to find. Temperate zones and tropic climes. True currents and thriving seas. Wind blowing through breathing trees. Strong ozone and safe sunshine. Well, good planets are hard to find. Good planets are in demand.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. If Mike says he's growing a pear, he's literally growing a pear. What did you think he meant? Get your minds out of the irrigation ditch. Here he is, Mike Novak.
All together now, one more time. Hey, it's December. How did that happen? Wow. Okay. That's all right. That's okay. Don't panic, everybody. We got through one holiday, right? And got through the first serious weekend of the holiday. But, you know, I think I'm just going to play this all day. I just want to play this.
Real butter.
And just whenever possible, just throw in.
Real butter.
So whatever we talk about today, you know, like it's Toys for Tots Day with.
Real butter.
And it's the first day of December.
Real butter.
With.
Real butter.
Okay, there we go. Oh, at that time of year, I'm going to be playing some goofy holiday songs. You know, Rob's supposed to bring some of those in for me, but he's not here today. But he will make an appearance on the show later on. We'll be talking about an event that's coming up next weekend, the Sauganash Prairie Grove Habitat Restoration and Potluck with
Real Butter.
He'll be here. But in studio today, we have half of the team, Carol Brewer, answering the phones. How you doing, Carol? Uh-oh. Did you? There goes Denny.
That?
Whoa, wait, there you are. There you are. You turn it up a little.
It was all the way down. How's that?
I don't know why it was
People
all the way down.
With me, I'm telling you.
You know, what I'll tell you is next week we'll check the levels first, and okay. Then we'll go on the air.
That's a good idea.
That's a great idea. All right. See, she's in the other room. She's in the other booth. Denny's there, but Denny, she took care of it.
Yeah.
She nailed it herself. She's got it. Carol is on the job with
Real Butter.
All right.
But I'm glad we've already... one of your listeners, Sanford, called and wanted to remind us about the 36th annual Toys for Tots. I know you already talked about it.
Well, let's talk about that very quickly before we line up the show and get into things. That is, and Sarah Batka is also here in studio.
Good morning.
Good to have you back. It's been a while.
Thank you. It's good to be back.
And Sarah's already worried about getting home.
I am. I got to cross Western.
So if you're anywhere near Western today, Western Avenue, you're going to be dealing with Toys for Tots. So did you find the information on that, Sarah?
Yeah. So lineup started at 6 a.m. this morning at 87th. 87th at the Dan Ryan Woods. And they go up to DeVry at Roscoe, Western and Roscoe.
So it's like Marathon Day. And people, you know, you don't go near downtown on Marathon Day. And you don't go near Western Avenue on Toys for Tots Day. But probably it's going to be a beautiful day. Be lots of people out there. Nat King Cole would be proud. Toys for Tots. What we've been playing on this radio station for some time now. So that's going on today. And as I said, we got into the holiday with a vengeance. Some of us kind of opted out of the family thing, like me. But it was, you know what I did on Thanksgiving?
What?
I cleaned my house. I vacuumed up and down that thing and cleaned the bathrooms and just... It was very gratifying, very satisfying. Had football on, watched, you know, without sound because I couldn't hear it over the vacuum. I also had the NASA program on as Comet Ison, the dud of the century. And I know, it's just sad, isn't it? Flew into the sun. Icarus, nice going. You know, it was funny because I pulled up the computer and I was listening to the scientists wax poetic on this for a couple of hours. So there was football. It was multimedia day. I'm vacuuming, football's on, and then whenever the vacuum cleaner would stop, I would listen to the scientists talk about Ison, Comet Ison, for a while. And as it became clearer and clearer that it wasn't going to reappear, or at least if it did, it was not going to be its former self. The scientists kept saying, oh, no, that's really cool. No, it's still cool. And you could just hear the collective response of everybody else in the universe going, okay, let's go back to football. Okay, you know, we're not interested. A note to scientists. We're not interested in how cool it was because you have all these numbers you're crunching about this comet. I mean, that's cool for you. We wanted to see a Christmas comet. We wanted to see the comet in the night skies throughout the month of December, and you guys blew it. I'm not blaming you, actually. I'm blaming the comet. But it was just sad. Just sad. Didn't get to see Comet Ison. So that was, and then, you know, oh, and I forgot the other part of my cleaning house with a glass of champagne. You know, there's nothing like doing your housework with champagne.
I love it.
The day started with pumpkin pie and whipped cream.
Nice.
We made homemade pumpkin pie on Wednesday.
Sounds perfect.
It was.
It's great.
And then dinner had nothing to do with turkey. It was salmon and asparagus and garlic mashed potatoes. I mean, that's a Thanksgiving dinner. So Kathleen and I enjoyed ourselves very much. We had a great, great holiday. But I don't begrudge anybody spending time with family. That's okay. Because then I jumped into the season the next day, caroling with the Frozen Robins at the Chicago Botanic Garden. Their Wonderland Express opened on Friday. And if you've never been to the Wonderland Express, you got to go. Ellen Phillips, have you been to the Wonderland Express?
Yes, I have, and my family loves going there.
Isn't it a great exhibit?
It is.
It's trains in the Regenstein Center at Chicago Botanic Garden, and it's just these coolest trains ever. going around and with all the iconic buildings done in miniature, you know, Soldier Field, Wrigley Building, you name it, Baha'i Temple, they're all there. And then they switch them up from year to year and do things. And what's really, what I love about it is the guys who are running it, the engineers there, they're wonderful crew.
They are very dedicated.
They are.
Those trains going.
I know. And they were having, you know, you could see them running back and forth. Because we get to go, we go to the ready room, which is downstairs next to the engineering room. And there's some guy with a soldering iron in there. And you could hear vacuums go, and you could, and fixing things and then running them back out and extension cords going back out and guys running back and forth, you know, behind the scenes while the folks and the kids are watching the trains go. So
there's a whole lot of volunteers keeping that going.
Yeah. And it's, as I said, it's a wonderful exhibit. I'm not sure exactly how long it runs. We should, look that up and then you can tell me. But of course through the new year, I didn't even think I was going to talk about it, but, you know, we'll get the hours and we'll talk about that. And, of course, the illumination at the Morton Arboretum, I'm really impressed. I think it's very cool. I think they've done wonders with the lights. And last night, holy smoke, it was packed. Of course, it's a Saturday after Thanksgiving. But lots of people out there, and so we warbled our way around the grounds, and it's really fun. If you haven't had a chance, you should go out to the Morton Arboretum during the holidays at night. It starts about 4:30 as it gets dark, and they have lighted the trees, and it's not just wrapping twinkly lights around trees. They're doing a lot of interactive things out there. Yeah, you can, in one place, you stick your face in a camera, and it projects your image on the trees. Think, how is that possible? But they do it. Something like that. Another one, you hug a tree and it changes color.
Fantastic.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Kids like that one a lot. I do, too. I like hugging trees.
Kids of all ages.
Kids of all ages, as they say. So that was my my start to the holiday season. Of course, I did it all with
real butter.
Just letting you know. Did you find the...
no, not yet.
Wonderland Express, just go to CBG, chicagobotanic.org, and you'll have that. And this pen just broke in front of me here. The spring has fallen out, and now I'm just going to put this over here because I'll spill it all over myself. On the show today, our guest, you've heard our guest already for the first hour, Ellen Phillips, who's the local food and small farms educator for Illinois Extension. We're going to talk about Illinois specialty crops, agritourism, Illinois specialty crops, agritourism, and organic conference coming up and why that's important. Talk about good agricultural practices. Talk about training new farmers. Talk about soil.
Sounds good to me.
Because you are a soil scientist, after all.
By training, yes, I am.
Yes, you are. We talked many years ago. I was trying to figure out how long. Do you have any idea?
Yeah, it's probably 7-8 years ago.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. When I was at... Gargantua Radio down the dial. And now she's on this program. Rick DeMille taking a day off. So Pat Skatch will be here with
Real Butter.
And he will be doing our weather segment today. He's the Cooperative Weather Observer with the National Weather Service in Chicago. Also climate research contributor with the College of DuPage Meteorology Department. See, when it's Rick, I just say meteorologist. When Pat's on, I go to Cooperative Weather Observer with the National Weather Service in Chicago and climate research contributor with the College of DuPage Meteorology Department. But he's a great guy anyway. Second hour, we're going back to Andersonville. Ellen Shepard, the executive director of the Andersonville Chamber of Commerce, and Brian Bonanno, who's the sustainability programs manager for the Andersonville Development Corporation. A couple of weeks ago, we had a discussion with the Edgewater people about the recycling program, food waste or food scrap. We shouldn't call it food waste. Waste is a bad word because it's really a resource. For those of you who know, you know, if you don't eat all of that lettuce, it's a resource. It goes in the compost pile. And if you don't have one and you live in a place where you're not able to have one, you need to figure out how to get it to a place that picks it up. And there are services that can do that. And one of them is in Andersonville. And we're going to explain that in further detail today. And then as I mentioned before, Rob will probably give us a call about the Saugatuck Prairie Grove Habitat Restoration and Potluck. And I'll tell you, if anybody, you're always welcome to call 773-763-9278. Telephone number, 773-763-9278. Follow us on Facebook. We're always posting during the show. My elves here are taking care of that. The little elves with their little tiny fingers on the little tiny keyboards here. And on Twitter. And we love to hear from you. I don't always get a chance to mention everything. One of the things I would like to do, because next week, one of the things we're going to be talking is green holidays. I have a fellow who's going to be on the program next week, and let me find his name because he wrote to me. Here it is. Tom Watson is going to be on the show next week, and he is with the King County Recycling and Environmental Services in Seattle. And he follows me on Facebook and Twitter and said, hey, we should talk about how to have a really green holiday. And I love Seattle, great city. I've spent some time there myself over the past couple of decades. Not so much in the city, but nearby. He also does a column. Does the eco-consumer column for the Seattle Times. And so we'll be talking about having a green Christmas. But if you have an idea what you're doing to green up the holidays, starting now and up through, because now's the time to start thinking about that, give me a call. Shoot me a Facebook post or a tweet, and we'll mention it. And I'll make sure my elves let me know that it comes in. Right, little elves?
Yes, we will do that.
One little elf is just nodding.
I forget nodding.
Sarah nods because she's that the idea of radio, see, is audio. All right. Let's go to Ellen Phillips. And Ellen, thank you so much for being here. Here you are back in Chicago, which has got to be fun because you've been out sort of in the hinterlands, out in the western part of the state.
Yeah, last couple of years I've covered Boone, DeKalb, and Ogle counties. I'm thrilled to be back into Cook County and serving the people here.
You know, you said something off air before we got on. I said, I was telling my elves here that my one listener was here in the studio. So what was I going to do? Because I know you happen to be a fan of the show, which I really appreciate. But you say a lot of farmers listen to the program.
I know quite a number of farmers who do listen, and that's because they are producing for the local market. They're very much into supporting local initiatives and local agriculture. And so any way that they can get that word out, they're thrilled. And you address a lot of those topics.
I get the feeling sometimes that I'm the only one doing this. You know, maybe even some of the local shows are doing it. But in terms of the broader aspect, in terms of getting people interested in local and supporting your local farmer and getting to know your farmer, which mm-hmm. I think is a really important concept.
It's a critical concept, especially right now, because our farmers are just really a lot. We have a lot of new farmers who are taking off and need that market. And the consumers are meeting that demand. And I really think that this whole local food movement is being brought on by that consumer. And they are the ones demanding to know their farmer. They're demanding to know where their food is coming from, the quality of food. And that helps our farms so much.
Well, you're the local food and small farms educator for Illinois Extension. And it's you know, opportunity for me to put a plug in for Extension because Sarah works for you guys. Do you guys work in the same office now?
No. She's in Westchester.
Oh, that's right. You're in Westchester and you're in Southside. Yeah. But it's still Cook County.
We're on the same team.
Yes.
Yep.
The question I asked you when you were in the green room waiting here is, you know, how that has changed. I think you just kind of addressed it in the last decade or so, since the last time we talked on the radio, the idea of local food, I think, has come into the public consciousness, hasn't it?
Oh, I do think so. As people want to be more healthy, they understand that food is a very critical part of that. And you can't be healthy without having that fresh food. And the only way to get fresh food is to have a connection with that local farmer. And so they're definitely seeking that out. They're pushing that envelope. You can see that even just recently our governor signed the declaration that we have the first Saturday of every month being local food week.
How did I miss
Saturday?
That? Wait a second. How did I miss that?
Yes, he did. And so every first Saturday. So this coming Saturday is coming up, folks, and we really would like you to focus on shopping for the holidays with our farmers.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So how do people do that?
Well, there's a lot of different ways. We have a lot of farmers who are producing, obviously, fruits and vegetables. We have new technology coming on that they can raise things like spinach and root crops in high tunnels well into, you know, January, February. And oftentimes you'll see those then at the winter farmers markets. And it's real simple to find those. Just do a search for Chicago winter markets, and you will find those locations. There's probably a half a dozen or more.
Well, I know Faith and Place does winter farmers markets.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I just typed in winter farmers market Chicago, and Local Harvest is a great website where you can find.
They have a listing of several out there, yes. Uh-huh. And in the suburbs, there's equal number. So contact your local farmer's market, see if they're going to help.
I got two right here. There's a FIP Winter Farmer's Market, the Church of St. Benedict. Let's see. That is, where is that? That's in Bolingbrook.
Mm-hmm.
909 Lily Cash Lane.
Yep.
And that's next Saturday. So if you're looking for a winter's farmer's market, that's one. Then on December 14th, there's one at 5627 South Michigan Avenue. It is the Coppin Memorial AME. I'm not sure what AME stands for. But that's at 5627 South Michigan. So it's really not that hard. You know, Local Beat, I think, has this information as well. There are a number of places where you can find winter's farmers markets.
Real simple search anymore to do that. And University of Illinois Extension actually has a really excellent site. It's called Market Maker. If you simply do a search for Market Maker, it's all one word.
Really?
On there,
all right,
we
I'm looking
have
right now.
A whole section called Taste of Illinois. And it focuses on local products produced by farmers. In addition, you can do a search within your 5-mile area or 10-mile area, 50-mile area, for whatever you're interested in, whether it's a CSA or...
I wish I'd known this yesterday. I would have had this on the website, but there it is. I just went to marketmaker.uiuc.edu. But
exactly.
If you just type in Market Maker Illinois... Wow, and you can find a business like a farmer or a rancher, market research, register your business.
And we definitely are encouraging anybody who is not only just a farmer, but if you are a restaurant who is serving local produce, please list yourself on there. The whole purpose of this website originally was to connect the farmer to those buyers, whether it's a restaurant or a school or the food banks. We have a whole new program working with food banks, connecting farmers. But now consumers have caught on, and they realize that they can go out there and find the closest CSA to them or the closest farmer raising eggs or even bees, beekeepers and raising honey.
Yeah.
So if you want to purchase honey as some of your Christmas gifts, it's out there. Wineries, if you are into wine.
Oh, now you're talking.
Yeah.
Now you're talking my language.
We have hundreds of local wineries in Illinois. We need to support them with purchasing their wine.
You don't think of Illinois as a winery state.
It is a very fast-growing industry in Illinois. We can grow some very nice grapes and really have produced some excellent wines. So certainly can support them that way.
And it's, of course, all with
real butter.
Yes.
Well, we have a number of dairies who do produce that real butter, so look for them on the web as well. And we do have a lot of CSAs who do have winter baskets available, mm-hmm. or just even meat production. We have a number of large or even small farms producing meats as a CSA, so you can purchase your beef or your pork or your turkeys.
Well, since you have your finger on this pulse, my question is, CSAs and people going to farmers markets are not going to put supermarkets out of business, okay?
Not at all.
So how are those farms and those farmers getting their goods to those supermarkets so you can at least buy that stuff, if even if you don't go to a farmer's market or a CSA?
This is one way the consumer is absolutely making a difference. And we see it in extension when we're working with farmers. We actually have programs called Meet the Buyers, where we bring in those grocery stores or restaurants to actually have a session with all these different farmers, and they connect and make their contracts as to what they're going to grow for the next year. We just had a very successful one in Kane County. We had over 30 farmers there, more than a dozen, and there were several grocery stores there. What you need to do as consumers, when you walk into that grocery store, look for the local produce. Oftentimes, these grocery stores are now putting the face of the farmer right next to that farm stand. Look for that, and if you don't see it, ask the produce manager, where is the local food? They recognize there's a demand, and they are contracting with our farmers, basically saying, we'll take whatever you can produce because our consumers want it in our stores.
That's great.
It is awesome.
I haven't really looked for that, but I'm going to start doing that now. And I suppose you should also talk to the store managers and, if you don't see that,
yes,
and say, I would like you to identify when something comes from a local farm.
Yes,
so I can
do
support
that
those.
That really encourages them to go out and seek out that, and it really supports our farmers because if they have that guaranteed market, then they can produce more and they can scale up. It's incredibly risky to go from a 1 to 2 acre farm into a 10 acre or 20 acre farm. There's a lot of changes in equipment demands and so forth. So by doing that and supporting the farmer by buying it, you're taking away some of that risk.
We are talking to Alan Phillips, local food and small farms educator for Illinois Extension. You're listening to the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. When we come back, I have a couple of questions for you, and one of them involves feeding the world.
Okay.
Yeah, just a small thing, okay? just a small thing, feeding the world. And the idea of, and I'm using air quotes here, specialty crops.
Sure.
And that conference that I mentioned earlier. So I hope folks stick around for that. But I want to tell you that this is the time of the year when certain species head south, including Chicagoans. Then there's Branta canadensis. Do you know what that is?
No.
Canada goose.
That's accurate. Yeah.
Yes.
Now I recognize it.
The November-December issue of Chicagoland Gardening Magazine tells you everything you need to know about this iconic and sometimes annoying bird. It explains how geese went from a species in decline to a nuisance in many communities. It reports on why the Canada goose is able to overwinter in cold climates, and even more important, how you can reduce goose problems. Among the solutions, don't feed them, duh. If possible, let your lake freeze over so the geese aren't attracted to the open water. You know, and then, of course, that depends on the weather. But some people, you know, they do the bubblers so they can keep the other species happy, but that keeps the water open and then it attracts the canids. So it's a double-edged sword there. Let's see, what else? Plant tall shrubs, perennials, and grasses along the lake shore, which makes the geese fear predators are hiding in the tall growth. And, you know, that's also a good idea, and you know about this in terms of talking about soil, Ellen, that you don't want your lawn going right up to the edge of the water, because then when you put the fertilizers and the chemicals, it all rolls right in there. You need a buffer, you know, something that can suck up that stuff.
Absolutely. And actually, you do want to keep that buffer zone away and not apply those fertilizers close to there.
Yeah.
If you follow good lawn practices, you don't need much fertilizer anyway.
Thank you. I'm so glad to hear that. See, I keep telling folks that, you know, in yep. in the spring, people put fertilizer on their lawn because they think it's going to green up. Well, guess what? Lawns green up in the spring anyway.
Yeah, we have quite a number of websites on lawn care and the University of Illinois Extension website. Simply go there and you can look at our fertilizer recommendations and realize it's very minimal fertilizer that's needed,
wow,
if any at all.
I'm going to have you here every week, especially if you continue to back me up in my various opinions. Back to Canada geese. There's your trusty dog. But be aware that dogs are not supposed to harm geese because of federal laws. See, it can be a little tricky. Then there's my column on the inside back page. Some people consider it a nuisance, but I never go south for the winter. Get a subscription for Chicagoland Gardening Magazine. Go to chicagolandgardening.com. You know, it makes a great holiday gift. If for the people you're having trouble, you know, your gardening friends, these are folks you might want to get a subscription for. ChicagolandGardening.com or call 888-265-3600, 888-265-3600.
Hi, this is Ron Calvio from Mighty House. Are you looking for a new ride? Looking for a cool ride? Looking for a ride that you can plug in so you can flip off the guy at the gas station? Well, here's your chance to get one for as little as $40. The Illinois Solar Energy Association is raffling off a 2014 Chevy Volt, and only 3,000 tickets will be sold. So how do you win? Go to illinoisolar.org and click on the link to the Chevy Volt raffle. You can buy one ticket for $40, two tickets for $60, or four tickets for $100. All raffle proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout the state of Illinois. The winner will be drawn at the ISEA member meeting on December 7th, 2013. Again, that's illinoisolar.org to buy your tickets and to get all the small print details.
Hey, I want to remind you that they are giving that away, raffling it off next Saturday. Now, just to let you know, I'm going to win that car. But you should support the Illinois Solar Association anyway. I want to remind folks, if you haven't got, and you know, $40 to win an electric car, how cool is that?
And only 3,000 tickets sold.
Right. Your odds really are really, really good. Like I said, though, I'm going to win it. But go to illinoisolar.org and get yourself a ticket for $40. Come on. And three for $100. It's a fabulous deal. Here's a tip from the Care of Trees and me. If you get a real Christmas tree this year, please, please recycle it when you're finished. It's easy to do, and it will keep more stuff from ending up in the landfill. Or if you want to reuse, the branches of a Christmas tree can be chipped or shredded and used as mulch in the yard. Or you could use branches from the tree to cover the plants in your yard and help protect them by keeping the soil temperatures even. And a reminder not to burn your Christmas tree or any fresh conifer wood in a fireplace or wood stove. The sap turns into creosote that can coat the inside of your chimney and possibly lead to a chimney fire. Please be safe. Talk to the certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. Yes, I said free. 800-508-9466 or go to thecareoftrees.com, The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees.
Spending more time at home these days? Give yourself some room. Renovate your basement or attic. You'll increase your living space and your home's resale value, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling needs, including additions, renovations, and other home improvements. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Allergies acting up, trouble breathing, headaches, sinus pressure, you're tired, congested. Isn't it time to feel better? Breathe deeply and easily. Get rid of the symptoms that complicate your life. Dr. Bonnie Flaster is an acupuncturist and chiropractor who helps people get rid of allergies without using drugs, shots, or needles. Call Dr. Flaster at River North Wellness Center, 312-642-7545. Or go to rivernorthwellness.com to find out how to get your body feeling better so you can enjoy life again.
Real butter.
I'm spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica, wearing sandals, lighting candles by the sea. I spent Shavuos in East St. Louis, a charming spot, but clearly not the spot for me. Those eastern winters, I can't endure them, so every year I pack my gear and come out here till Purim. Rosh Hashanah I spend in Arizona, and Yom Kippur way down in Mississippi. But in December there's just one place for me. Amid the California flora, I'll be lighting my menorah like a baby in his cradle. I'll be playing with my dreidel, spending Hanukkah in Santa Monica by the sea.
And of course, I have to wish happy Hanukkah to all our Jewish friends out there who are listening to the program. I heard yesterday or the day before that Hanukkah, of course, is at the same time as Thanksgiving this year, started, I believe, on the same day. And it won't happen again for another 70,000 years or something. I don't know exactly how long, but we'll all be dead. But I just thought that was, I don't know how that works and how Hanukkah is determined. But, you know, maybe somebody can tell me. Maybe somebody can explain that. But happy Hanukkah to you folks. And it gives me a chance to play Tom Lehrer, one of my favorite carols. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Ellen Phillips from Illinois Extension in the studio. Okay, the question is, simple one. The argument that is posed in this era of local farms and local food production, how do we feed the world? Can we do this with small farms, or does it have to be big ag?
There's certainly a possibility to do that.
Can it be done organically? I mean, the folks in big ag say, nope, you can't do it. It's not going to happen. And yet, you know, there's a lot of damage being wreaked in terms of big ag when it comes to, plowing up our natural areas and not allowing for things like the monarch. The monarch has just had a terrible year, and part of the reason is the habitat's gone. And then there's the things like Roundup and creating Roundup-ready corn and other products, and then creating a situation where we're overusing chemicals because Roundup stops working and we create super weeds and all that. And it seems like it's a lot healthier to go organic and small, but the argument is always made, yeah, but how are you going to feed the world?
Well, certainly, as consumers are eating more fruits and vegetables and so forth, the question came up. And actually, Julie Govis, who is our farm-to-school coordinator in Extension, before coming to Extension, worked with some at Northwestern University to look at if we purchased all of the fruits and vegetables needed by Illinois, from Illinois, how much acreage would be needed? And they came up with about 2% of the acreage. So there really isn't that competition, even to just feed our own population, by expanding that fruit and vegetable production. And already Illinois is, the top producer of quite a number of different commodities. So, back to buying that local horseradish is, we're number one in that. So go and buy that for Christmas and support our local farmers.
Local horseradish?
Yes, down from southern Illinois.
Wait, are we like the horseradish capital of?
Yes, more than 50% of the horseradish in Illinois, in the United States, is produced here in Illinois. So,
hey, by the way, on Facebook, Lisa Albrecht, from our team, she said, at Whole Foods right now, look what I see. And she's got two photographs she took, and it says, buy local. And they identify the farmers. There's the produce, and the picture of the farmer is there. So obviously, Whole Foods is doing their part in this.
There are a number of large grocery chains who are doing it now and are moving very quickly into that and are very supportive of our farmers.
So you think it can be done? We can do this worldwide.
As long as consumers are willing to buy, farmers can absolutely produce. And
I'm going to hold you to that, of course.
Well, look at what our farmers are already doing, though. We're extending the season almost to 12 months of the year here in Illinois by using high tunnels. No extra energy and so forth to produce that. We're just using the sunlight to warm the soil in those tunnels and keep those crops that can handle a little bit of cold growing. So we're doing a lot to do that.
All right. Now, the Illinois Specialty Crops Agritourism and Organic Conference is January 9th and 10th. And basically anybody who's interested in local food can go to that, right?
Everybody can go, yes, if they want to.
And that's in Springfield this year.
Correct, yes.
Why do we call fruits and vegetables specialty crops? To me, you know what a specialty crop is? It's food. That's what we eat. But it's kind of archaic, isn't it?
It's definitely the terminology that simply exists to try and identify all those things. But it's not just fruits and vegetables. It's herbs and so forth as well.
Yeah, but that's our food.
Yes, it is.
I know, but do we call them? That's, see, that just goes back to the big ag days, you know, which we're still in. But that got started because the real stuff we grow is soybean and corn. And then all that other stuff, all that specialty stuff. That's our food. Yeah. Why are we calling it specialty crops?
Well, it is special. It's very good for us. So
yes. So what's this conference going to do?
The conference really is for our farmers, but we would welcome anybody there. It's put on by the Illinois Specialty Crops Association and Extension and Department of Ag and so forth. And it's just 2 days of multiple breakout sessions addressing everything from technology to, you know, raise vegetables and herbs, looking at irrigation, emergent issues, obviously with immigration issues, healthcare, all those kinds of things that our farmers know about will be addressed. The day before the conference, we actually have 6 workshops that people can come to if they're interested in those specialized things like growing pumpkins.
Which everybody wants to do.
Yes.
I think it's cool.
We are the
number. What I'm going to try to do next year? Is have among my listeners, we talked about this earlier, among my listeners have a giant pumpkin growing competition. Now, I don't expect any of them to grow a pumpkin.
The Farm Bureau does that. The Cook County Farm Bureau.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the Mike Novak show. The Farm Bureau can do whatever they want. I don't go and knock yourself out. But, you know, nobody listening to my show is probably going to grow an 800-pound pumpkin. But they might grow a 300-pound pumpkin, you know?
Even in their home garden, they can absolutely do that.
So I think we're going to do that and give away valuable Wally prizes when we do that. So
that would be fun competition.
So that's part of the and by the way, I have the information for the Illinois specialty crops. Agritourism and you can hear the disdain dripping from my voice, can't you? Agritourism and Organic Conference. I've got a link to that. Yep. Go to MikeNovak.net this week's show. And you're also, part of your job is to teach people about good agricultural practices, or GAPs.
Correct. GAPs is something that started about 10 years ago. It was actually requested by our growers to help them basically minimize microbial contamination of the produce that they're raising, everything from seed all the way to post-harvest handling off to the market. And so GAPS is a training that we do with farmers to try and keep pathogens like E. coli, salmonella, mm-hmm. and so forth out of the produce, keep it as safe as possible for the producers.
Well, and I guess that's the question. I think when we talk about big farms versus small farms, a lot of people think, well, the more farmers you have, the more likely you are to encounter problems because everybody's doing it differently. You know, if you got one big operation, it's all stainless steel and sanitary, and we don't have to worry.
Well, actually, I think that most farmers, when we go out and do mock audits with them, they're already doing most of what we are suggesting, because the same way that you keep plant diseases out of your crops, how you keep many of these pathogens away from your crops. And so a lot of the things that we are doing, they are already doing. What we're doing is trying to document that they're doing that so that they have a record of it and they can prove to the buyers, because it's actually, again, the consumer who wants safe food, that then the market says, wow, we've got a guarantee we've got safe food. So they're requesting the farmer to have proof that they are doing these things on the farm. And that's what a GAPS food safety plan is.
I have to ask you this question, and we only have a couple of minutes here. Are you concerned with the Food Safety Modernization Act and the effect it's going to have on small farms?
We've done quite a number of webinars and outreach to our farmers asking them to please review those rules.
The deadline is passed for comment.
Yes.
It was November 15th.
Correct. But it is.
So what happens if they put out these rules and say, you know, that are just going to make it incredibly difficult for the small farmer to succeed? Are there contingency plans?
As with any rules and regs, you would have to go and submit your concerns to the regulators and have those either laws changed or the rules changed at that point. And that's why we focused so hard in the last year to get our farmers to respond. And I think a lot of them finally did. It took them a while to realize that they needed to read those plans. And it was a little overwhelming. You know, 500
sure.
pages of documentation is not easy to get through. But there were certainly some things in there that were should have been a concern to smart small farmers.
But you think they they stepped up to the plate and got those comments in.
I know a lot of farmers who absolutely did. They submitted those comments, and I'm hoping.
You know, when you're dealing with the U.S. government, you just kind of sometimes you cross your fingers and hope for the best.
I think in this case, actually, I think they were really listening. We actually, an extension through Cornell, who's the head of our GAPS initiative in the United States, did quite a number of sessions with those regulators who are writing those rules. They really listened to the concerns. And so hopefully when the rules come out, they will be written in a way that will be very beneficial to everybody.
You know, we didn't even get a chance to talk about soil, but, you know, if we did that, we could go all day and all night. So what I'm going to say to you, Ellen, is you got to get back on the show in the spring when our soils are waking up, and we'll do a segment on what people need to know about.
That would be great.
I mean, that's the other thing that has changed in horticulture, I would say, in the past 20, 25 years, is the emphasis on biology, mm-hmm. less on nutrients and those kinds of inputs. And how is that affecting our biology? Would you agree with that?
Well, absolutely, because you don't have nutrients unless you have that biology. So it's a critical cycle that we have to pay attention to.
As we say on the Mike Novak Show, it's the biology, stupid. Oh, it didn't play. Where's my... Why isn't that... I hit the butter thing, and it didn't go. Why? Now it stopped working. Daddy! All right.
We'll pretend. Real butter.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Ellen, thank you so much for coming into the studio. It's great seeing you again, and I have a feeling we'll be talking a lot more in the future.
No problem. Be glad to be here. And I just encourage people to go to our website at Cook County Extension. We have quite a number of programs coming up for small farmers and local foods, and would like to see more people come to those and check us out.
Go and that website would be?
web.extension.illinois.edu/cook.
All right. Well, let's get that on Facebook. Let's get that on Twitter. And I'll get it on my website. And I hope folks take advantage of that.
ComEd Smart Ideas presents The Power of Small Changes.
Help! I'm a light bulb left on in an empty room. My energy is being wasted.
Fear not. I can help. There you go.
I'm saved.
Be a hero.
Hooray!
Save energy. Visit ComEd.com/home savings to find discounts and money-saving tips, like switching to compact fluorescents.
Visit ComEd.com/home savings.
ComEd, powering lives. This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
The Mike Novak Show is sponsored in part by ComEd Smart Ideas. Discover instant discounts and money-saving tips at ComEd.com/home savings.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I publish Chicago's only local magazine dedicated to healthy and sustainable living. Natural Awakenings is available monthly, and we provide the latest news and trends about healthful living, including alternative and complementary medicine, fitness, good food and drink, healthy kids and families, and even healthy pets. Natural Awakenings also talks about local sustainability, gardening and environment, energy conservation, and green living. We feature local news and a calendar to help you stay connected. I can guarantee that each month you'll discover a new health tip, a tasty recipe, a service in your neighborhood, something that makes your life better. Natural Awakenings is free and available throughout the city and suburbs or online at nachicagonorth.com. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
It's Dr. Wally's Tip of the Week, brought to you by Bertholdt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Wally isn't a real doctor, but leave a sawbuck in his tip jar this holiday anyway. Are pesky little flies resembling fruit flies buzzing around your house and they're more aggravating than standing in line at a Black Friday sale. The insects that are bugging you are fungus gnats. They are hatching from eggs in your houseplant soil, especially if the plants were outside this summer. You bring them back in, you didn't even know it, did you? Now, you can dispose of the larvae using the natural bacteria Bacillus thuringiensis israelensis, or BTI. Pour 1/2 pouch of mosquito beater WSP granules. Now, you can also use mosquito dunks. If you do that, use 1/4 of the wafer into a gallon of warm water and shake it well. Then in a day, the granules should be dissolved and the water will be back to room temperature. Shake up the mixture and drench the infected plant soil. Voila! No more fungus gnats. Learn more in person from Dr. Wally at Berchtold's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front or go to BertoltzGardenCenter.com. Bertolt's, get green, let's get growing.
Well, Mom and Dad said be good, so I did what I should. Hung my stocking on a wall, didn't get a thing at all. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas. Don't believe in Christmas, cause I didn't get nothing last year.
Uh-huh. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk AM and FM. Some of us do believe in Christmas. I'm sure one of those is Pat Skatch, who is on the line. He is a cooperative weather observer with the National Weather Service in Chicago, climate research contributor with the College of DuPage Meteorology Department. That's a lot to say, Pat.
It is. Good morning, Mike. How are you? And I do believe in Christmas.
Good. Now, hang on a second, because there are also people who believe in Hanukkah, and one of them is on the phone, and that's Howard. Howard, you're good morning. You have some information for me?
Yes, actually, two things. One thing about Hanukkah and one thing about one of the station's commercials.
Okay.
The Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, which is adjusted for the solar calendar by adding an additional month six times in a 19-year cycle. Thing is that it still isn't quite perfect, and it's losing just a little bit of time every year, which is why you will not see, theoretically, Hanukkah on Thanksgiving again for another 79,000 years or so.
That's just so funny.
But more realistically speaking, there'll probably be just some small adjustment made by religious decree to handle the situation. The other thing is about one of the commercials the station runs says, you live by two rules, go green or go home.
Uh-oh.
That's
yeah.
One rule, not two.
I know.
It's just very irritating to hear that every time on the radio.
I know. And I've had people write to me about it, but you know what? It's a joke. I think it's funny. Yeah. You know, maybe we'll change it. I'll tell you what, I'll get Denny, and maybe he'll change it up and say he lives by one rule, go green or go home. And will that make you happy?
Yeah, it would make me happier. I wouldn't cringe every time I hear the commercial.
Okay, Howard. Hey, listen, thanks for the information. I really appreciate it. Have a great Sunday.
You too.
Bye-bye. Pat.
Yes, Mike.
Okay, you sent me a lot of stuff. Lots going on. Let's see here. Where do you want to start with it? You were talking about snowfall.
Well, yeah, I did a projected season snowfall for the 2013-2014 season, Mike. And this study is basically based upon snowfall amounts from the first autumn snowfall through December 1st, which is today. I examined all past 129 years, 1884 through 2012, for the specific period. Keep in mind, this is just one manner among many which could be used to develop a possible trend or therefore arrive at a possible projection or outlook. You know, an actual forecast for a 3 or 4 month period into the future is really difficult. So far, Chicago has officially received 0.9 inches of snowfall through today, 0.4 on November 11th and 0.5 on November 25th. The 129-year average for the period of October 1st through December 1st is 2.6 inches. So we really have a deficit so far.
We're already behind. Now, how does that happen, Pat?
Well, we don't know, but I mean, it's going to be tough to see what's going to happen in the upcoming season. here's the past 129-year breakdown, Mike, and this is interesting. 54 or 42% of the past 129 years in Chicago experienced less than 0.9 inches of snow through December 1st. 72 or 56% of the past 129 years experienced more than the 0.9 inches of snow through December 1st. And 3 of the past 129 experienced exactly the 0.9 inches we have right now. So of the past 54 years receiving less than 0.9, the average total season snowfall was 33 inches. The 129-year normal is 37. So past years receiving less than our current standing wound up having slightly below normal snowfall seasons.
Hmm.
Of those 72 years receiving more than the 0.9 up to this point, the average total season snowfall was 40 inches. That the normal is 37, so we would wind up having a slightly higher than normal snowfall season. And of the past 3 years receiving the exact amount we have up to today, which was back in 1908, 1988, and 2007, the average season snowfall for those three seasons was 37.1 inches, which is perfectly in line with the 129-year average or normal.
Wow.
Yeah, coincidental.
No, it's fact. We only deal in facts here, Pat.
Right. Therefore, based solely upon the study, Mike, it appears that Chicago should experience an average winter season snowfall. I really believe that we're going to be just about normal.
There we go. What is the Farmer's Almanac saying? Do you have any idea?
Didn't look at it. Rick DeMille prohibits me from reading it.
I
said Rick DeMille prohibits me.
Oh, does he really? Rick, so it's the Rick DeMille, the Ricky D ban on the Farmer's Almanac, huh?
Right. Well, here's the reason, Mike, I did this. I know we're low on time. You know, I had people asking me recently about, you know, snowfalls in November and so forth, and people, you know, are aware that we've had some decent snowfalls, and they're actually correct. In 1978, November had a monthly total of 7.1. In 1940, November had a total of 14.8.
Wow.
Yeah. And as early as 1989, October had 6.3 inches, and November had 3.9. So, you know, it's we're low. We're definitely low on snow.
Yeah. What about moisture in general? Are we down still, or have we caught up? Do you know where we are on that?
Below normal, but it looks like we might be catching up this coming week.
Oh, yeah? Okay, well, that's a good segue into the forecast.
Right. Today, partly sunny with a high temperature of 41 degrees in the early afternoon. Gentle winds around 5 miles an hour. It's going to cloud up in the afternoon and evening. Tonight, we're going to see cloudy skies and overnight low temperature in the low 30s. Tomorrow, slight chance of snow mixing with rain between 8 a.m. and noon. Really no snow accumulation expected. Let's see, Monday night, cloudy with an overnight low temperature in the low 30s. Tuesday night and Wednesday, we're going to rebound, and we're going to see temperatures in the mid to upper 40s for daytime high temperatures. And that's really above normal.
Great.
The best chance of snow, Mike, appears to be Thursday evening through Friday morning, accumulations of an inch possible. Numeric forecast models are forecasting temperatures by next weekend to have morning lows in the teens and daytime highs in the low 20s. And a week from tomorrow, next Monday morning, we could see morning low temperatures around 3 or 4 degrees above zero.
Holy smoke.
Yes.
I guess winter is on its way. And I got a carol next Saturday evening. It's going to be cold at the Morton Arboretum. Pat Sketch, thank you so much. Thanks for filling in for Rick DeMille. You did a great job, as always. I appreciate it, and we will talk soon.
Have a nice day, Mike.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Second hour of the show, we'll be talking a little more about food waste composting, and actually, we might talk about...
real butter.
I found it. See, we're back. So stick around for the second hour of the Mike Novak Show.
This hour of the Mike Novak Show is brought to you by The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. And by Recycled Granite, featuring eco-friendly split stone veneers and handmade products by individuals with disabilities. Go to recycledgranite.com. And by Birchold's Floral Gift and Garden Center. Get green, let's get growing. Here he is again, Mike Novak.
My absolutely most favorite holiday carol of all time, the Klezmonauts doing Joy to the World. So just the one I played early in the first hour was my most favorite Hanukkah song, the Tom Lehrer. So now we got those out of the way. We're officially into the holiday season. And off the air, as we're going into this segment, we're having the North Side versus South Side battle here. Because, of course, Sarah Batka, and you know, Sarah, you do realize this, don't you?
What's that?
That the Southsiders have a little bit of a chip on their shoulder.
That's what I hear. That's what I hear.
You are from the South Side.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But you don't have a chip on your shoulder, do you?
No way, man. I think it's 48-mile round trip, Mike, to come to your show.
Oh, dear. You know what? I'm just going to stop right there because before I get myself in trouble. And we appreciate it, don't we, Carol, that long trip that Sarah has to make.
We do.
Sunday. Or well, at least the Sunday she shows up. Yeah. You know?
No, you're a trooper.
It's early.
Sure. We love
Sunday
the South
morning.
Side. Hey, listen.
Tough.
Thank goodness, though, the traffic is on Sunday morning is usually pretty easy to navigate. And then, and don't forget the first, 3.5 years of this show, I was on 60th and Pulaski. That's where the station was. So I have great affinity for the South Side, you know, and that was a schlep. Going down there. And one of the things I discovered about Pulaski is, I don't know what it is about the weekends, but do not try to go on South Pulaski on the weekends. It just backs up like crazy. I don't know why. Can you explain that?
I feel like it's the entire city of Chicago. Like, do not drive a car on Saturdays.
And we should remind, or sometimes Sundays, you know, you could be that way. But not so much Sundays, but Saturdays were always, if I ever tried to sneak down there on a Saturday or something, wow. It just seemed to take forever. Let's do our reminder for the folks about the Toys for Tots. They're out there.
It's on Western, so if you got to go east west, forget it.
Forget it.
Forget it.
If you have to go east and west today.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're screwed. Oh.
Okay. So just keep that in mind. But as you're traveling, I want you to travel with
Real Butter.
I found the I had the wrong switch flip there, so that's why I couldn't play it before. So we're back to
Real Butter.
All right, we'll just you know what? I'm slap happy today. I did not get enough sleep last night, so I'm just a tad goofy here. And happy to have in the studio Ellen Shepard, the executive director of the Andersonville Chamber of Commerce. And Brian, am I pronouncing your name Bonanno? Is that how it's?
Yep.
Okay.
That's correct.
Sustainability Programs Manager, Andersonville Development Corporation. I got that off of LinkedIn, so I just make sure that I'm getting that. You wouldn't believe the research I do for my guests. I'm finding out who they are before they're actually on the show. Ellen, you and I know each other. We've known each other for a number of years. But
I have to update my LinkedIn.
You might.
My name's changed. No, I'm just kidding.
That's okay. If you want to change your name, go ahead. It's kind of a follow-up to the conversation we had a couple of weeks ago when we had the Edgewater people in here, the Edgewater Environmental Sustainability Project. And you guys, you know, now, technically, is Andersonville part of Edgewater, or are they distinct?
It is. Well, I mean, it's sort of both. You know, there's the 77 official community areas of Chicago. Edgewater was number 77. And then Andersonville is a part of that. But we have distinct organizations that serve different parts of the neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. But the reason you guys are here, well, I've known about Eco Andersonville for several years. When did that become a reality? When did you put that together?
We started working on Eco Andersonville in about 2007, 2008. It was about 3 years after we as a neighborhood decided to commit ourselves to going very local in terms of our businesses. And then we started thinking about our food system. And then we started thinking about how we were impacting the planet as a whole.
I became aware of it right about that time, too. And I tell you, I'm having a brain spasm. The woman who I worked with her at Gargantua Radio and introduced me.
That would be Nina.
Nina Neuhauser, who used to be Nina Neuhauser.
She still is.
She didn't change her name.
She didn't.
The way Brian did.
Yeah.
Yes. Exactly.
Right. All right. Yeah, I love Nina. And she introduced me to Eco Andersonville.
Yeah.
She used to produce Roy Leonard's show.
She did.
Yeah. She's great. And you guys are doing some great stuff there, too. Among which is this pickup of food scraps. All right. And I understand that was your brainchild, Brian.
I mean, it's not necessarily my brainchild. But for Andersonville, it's definitely something that I've been trying to work for the last 3 years. It's been done in several other cities around the country, and it's done by a couple other folks in the city currently as well, just in different parts of town.
Well, all right. So how does yours work, and how's yours perhaps differing from what's going on in other places in the city?
So ours at the moment is one of the densest and the largest pickups so far in the city of Chicago. We've got about 85 households participating, all in a pretty small area. So just Andersonville for the most part, a little bit into Edgewater, north to Devon Avenue, and south to about Montrose Avenue.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the west side, we're bordered by we've got a couple people just west of Ravenswood. But basically, we're trying to show that when you get enough people in that dense of an area participating in this program, we can make it efficient for someone to haul the food scraps somewhere else or to another composting facility. And we can make it affordable, which is one of the things that's been preventing people from joining this type of program on a large scale. So,
and how reasonable is it to be part of this?
Currently, we started the pilot program offering it at $3 a week,
mm-hmm.
So $12 a month. For people who are just signing up, we do have a $10 fee to cover just the initial cost of a good, clean food-grade bucket and lid. And it's kind of helps us cover some of the just the management of it. But, yeah, it's quite affordable. So people have been very eager to jump on board, and we've actually been kind of holding it at about 85 to 90 people just because we want to make sure that we can, you know, work out all of the kinks.
Are you saying that people that want to get involved now can't? Have you maxed out already?
Not necessarily. You know, we've had a couple people. We're not like branching out of our current area, I guess.
We're not continuing to promote it heavily. We haven't turned anyone away though.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we've still let people in, but we've kind of just slowed our promotion.
Why?
Just because we want to make sure that the service that we're offering is within our capability of managing it.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of want to scale it up properly.
So what is the service you offer? How do people participate in this?
So basically, people sign up. We give them a 5-gallon food grade bucket.
And when you say 5-gallon food grade bucket, is this something that they could get themselves? I mean, it's like one of those paint buckets, 5-gallon paint buckets, except you have the lid mm-hmm. still with it.
And it's food grade, so it's more rat proof, and
yeah.
it won't contaminate the stuff inside.
Uh-huh.
It has a nice snap on lid.
Mm-hmm.
You could go out and try and find one.
Yeah.
But just kind of to get the program rolling and to show, you know, just to offer that part of it to people.
So they sign up for a fee, $10. They get the bucket.
Mm-hmm.
Then what do they do with it?
So basically, you can start collecting right away. You collect all week.
You collect what though?
Food scraps. So
all of it. I mean, everything is acceptable.
Mm-hmm. Everything except for bone and large amounts of oil. Other than that, we can take pretty much anything that was once alive. So, you know, your coffee grounds, your...
So chicken skins will go in there.
Mm-hmm.
Not the chicken, it's bones itself, right?
Yep, just no bones.
Uh-huh.
We can even take some compostable containers or like to-go boxes.
Like a pizza box?
We wouldn't want you to probably throw an entire pizza box in there, but we can take food-soiled cardboard.
What if you cut up your pizza box?
We could probably do
that. I'm sorry. These are the questions that people ask. I mean,
yeah.
these are what we're talking about here. And the reason you're here today is I wanted to follow up on that discussion we had before because we didn't have time to get into all the details of what it means to compost food scraps.
Sure.
And these are the things that get in the way because people, I find with regular recycling, a lot of folks don't understand what they're supposed to put in and what they're not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm just trying to really clarify this for your program and, you know, and what happens to this. I mean, one of the questions we had asked, a couple of weeks ago, one of the questions was asked was, do these people get the compost back? But that's not part of the deal, right? It's just a way to get your compost out and turned into, I mean, your food scraps out and turned into compost. But you don't necessarily receive compost back as
currently. But that's one of the things that we want to, as the program kind of grows, that's one of the things that we want to add for sure, is to have a way to bring some of that finished compost back to the neighborhood and give it to people who want it or participants, whether it's something where, you know, once a week at the farmer's market, you know, a truck comes up and drops off a bunch of compost and members or participants, you know, come and get a discount on it or just people.
Yeah, and that would make perfect sense. If you're contributing to it and creating the compost, you might get some of it back for your yard or, you know, your potted plants or whatever you want to use it for.
Part of what we've been trying to do is, you know, we're making this up as we go along because there's only a couple other people who've even really tried it. So every step is a little bit of an adventure.
Sure.
So, for example, you know, we had to figure out where can we compost that can handle this quantity and also can handle something like soiled paper and chicken skin and stuff, and that wasn't going to be somebody's backyard garden compost. It had to go to more of a commercial composting facility, which means that for now, the compost isn't happening in Andersonville, although that might change soon.
Oh, so you're actually hoping that you can do just have close the loop and do it all yourself?
Mm-hmm. We are. I mean, so
do you have, like, room in Andersonville, for a composting operation?
Well, there's different ways of doing it. And I mean, it's down the road, but I think it's a goal to definitely keep in mind, I think, is, you know, and there's different ways of looking at composting, whether we do an indoor in-vessel composting method like vermicompost or earth tubs. You know, there's different ways that we can find space to accommodate that. And so, yeah, it's something we're definitely, I mean, I think that's one of the things that got us started on composting in the first place, was to figure out a way to keep that resource and use it for the benefit of the neighborhood somehow. So
we're talking to that's Brian Bonanno. He's the 800-pound Bonanno in the room. Thank you very much. Okay. Sorry.
No.
How many times has that been used on you?
My name, I get tons of them. So. I'm well accustomed to it.
He's the Sustainability Programs Manager, Andersonville Development Corporation. Ellen Shepard's here, Executive Director, Andersonville Chamber of Commerce. They are working with Eco Andersonville. And now I'm still going to keep digging here, so to speak. Carol.
I was just going to say, you do have a caller. I don't know if he's got a question and about coffee grounds that Whole Foods gives away.
Okay.
I don't know if you want to.
Sure. Well, I bet Brian's got an answer. Let's go.
Richard. Yeah, Richard's on the line.
All right, sure. Richard, you're on the Mike Novak Show. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I won't tell you which Whole Foods gives away coffee grounds, but there is one in the area that has a coffee bar inside.
Why won't you tell us? Because do you think there'll be a run on their coffee grounds?
Let's get them. I definitely think so. In fact, Thanksgiving morning, I stopped by on my way to family, and everyone was walking out with shopping carts filled with food. And I walked out with a shopping cart filled with buckets of coffee grounds. So
I like that.
Are you using it for your own backyard composting, or...?
It is a new garden, a family garden, backyard garden, and the soil is very poor. So what we're trying to do is we're working on half of it, and the other half we're just kind of letting it sit, and we're looking for material to build it up.
Sure.
So coffee grounds, I heard were good. My question is, how much is good, and what time of year is best to put them in?
I mean, I think you can... You could probably, I'm not by any means myself.
You know, we should have had, that's Ellen Phillips is our soil person. That would have been a great question for her. Maybe Ellen, if you're listening and you want to call in, 773-763-9278, but go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of a good compost mix requires a lot of different additives and ingredients. So you wouldn't want to use just coffee grounds, so you'd want to mix in other food scraps and materials and other maybe backyard waste, leaves and carbon input, I guess.
But, you know, coffee grounds are a good source of nitrogen. Mm-hmm. You know, you would, when you talk about, it's kind of counterintuitive because you talk about brown and green material, mm-hmm. green being the nitrogen, brown being the carbon. Well, because coffee grounds are brown, really, you think of them as being a brown material, but they're actually a green material, nitrogen. And I'm here on the Oregon State University site, and they say that coffee grounds As I said, are rich in nitrogen. They provide bacteria the energy they need to turn organic matter into compost. About 2% nitrogen by volume. Used coffee grounds can be a safe substitute for nitrogen-rich manure in the compost pile. And their education specialist there says a lot of people don't want to use manure because of concerns about pathogens, so they go to coffee grounds. Mm-hmm. And contrary to popular belief, coffee grounds are not acidic. After brewing, the grounds are close to pH neutral, between 6.5 and 6.8, which is slightly, you know, 7 is neutral.
Slightly acidic.
Yeah, slightly acidic. I mean, I wouldn't use it to try to change the pH of your soil, Richard. That's not going to really work. The acid in the beans is mostly water soluble, so that's how it leaches into the coffee. This is coffee grounds are definitely a good thing to use.
Mm-hmm. I know that they're great for growing mushrooms too, I've been told, and I know in places like Seattle. There are mushroom farmers that actually are paying coffee shops in the Seattle area to buy basically their grounds. So it's kind of how different the environment is versus Seattle versus Chicago. So.
I know we're getting kind of deep into this, but it's kind of fascinating from this site from Oregon State. Mix grounds into the soil as an amendment. Make sure to keep them damp. Add some nitrogen fertilizer if you do this, as coffee grounds encourage the growth of microbes, which use up nitrogen. While the microbes are breaking down the grounds, the nitrogen will provide a source of nutrients for your plants. Spread grounds on the soil surface and cover them with leaves or bark mulch. This is something Brian mentioned. You can add grounds to your compost pile, layering one part leaves to one part fresh grass clippings to one part coffee grounds by volume. Of course, you're not going to do it at this time of year. And you can turn that. If you turn that, it's going to be ready in 3 to 6 months. Or you can put them in an existing unturned pile. Just make sure to add high carbon, such as leaves. Mm-hmm. Again, as I mentioned, coffee grounds are actually considered a green material. The other thing, paper coffee filters can be composted with the grounds. Now, if you do that, you might want to get the unbleached paper. Mm-hmm. I do that when I make my own coffee at home. And they say, keep in mind that uncomposted coffee grounds are not a nitrogen fertilizer. Coffee grounds have a carbon to nitrogen ratio of about 20 to 1. Huh. Okay. Now, does that negate what I just said? It sounds like it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
Very helpful. One other comment I found. I've been collecting fruit and vegetable scraps from a smoothie bar. Mm-hmm. In Chicagoland, near Andersonville, for several years. And 5-gallon buckets were nice to start with. But what's more convenient, it's stackable, et cetera, are little tote bins, plastic tote bins, not too big, about the size of a small laundry basket from Container Store. You know, I bought maybe a dozen and a half, and I leave half there, leave half with me. Mm-hmm. And they're stackable. They have a cover. And I'd recommend getting the small one, you know, like the size of a small laundry bin. Those, for me, work better. They fit better in a car.
Sure.
Et cetera. So thank you for the help.
I got one more thing for you. I'm sitting here. My world is devastated because I thought that coffee grounds were the nitrogen. And it says here on this EDU site that it's not. And I've heard this. People say this. I'm a very fancy gardener. I remember driving a couple of years ago and listening to some gardener in another part of the country go, oh, yeah, it's a nitrogen source. And they're saying here, let me read this again. Keep in mind that uncomposted coffee grounds are not a nitrogen fertilizer. Coffee grounds have a carbon to nitrogen ratio of about 20 to 1 in the same range as animal manure. Germination tests in Eugene, in Oregon, showed that uncomposted coffee grounds added to soil as about 1/4 the volume showed poor germination and stunted growth in lettuce seed. Hmm. Therefore, they need to be composted before using near plants. So their advice is don't just throw it in the soil, that you really want to compost this. So that's something to think about, Richard.
Excellent.
All right. Well, thank you. See, now I've learned something today, too.
I think we all have. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for calling, Richard. Have a great Sunday. It's the Mike Novak Show on Chicago's Progressive Talk, AM and FM. Brian Bonanno and Ellen Shepard in the studio. So quickly before we break, let's get back just a little, one more time. So they put all this stuff in. You pick it up how often?
Once a week.
Once a week.
So we're working with the Resource Center currently,
okay.
Ken Dunn.
And is he composting it?
They're taking it down to a facility, Landon Lakes.
Okay, Landon Lakes, right.
122nd Street on the south side, I believe.
Right.
So they come out every Monday, and they usually get started around 10 in the morning, and it takes them about 8 hours, actually, to finish one route.
And when you what do you do? Just leave the bucket out? They pick it up and they leave a clean one?
We're not doing the take a bucket, leave a bucket.
Okay.
They're just coming by, emptying the bucket into their vehicle.
So you got to clean your bucket.
Mm-hmm. At the moment. So far, we haven't had any complaints from people about having to do that. We've been encouraging people to either use the compostable can liners or use a paper grocery bag if they have one to line the bucket if they want to keep it cleaner.
Mm-hmm.
This will be our sixth week coming up here tomorrow. So,
now is it, are people in apartments taking part in this too?
Yeah, this is geared really towards people who don't have, a backyard space where they could do, their own composting bin. This is really for people who have limited space, apartment dwellers, condo dwellers as well. So they just fill their bucket during the week and put it out in the alley every Monday morning.
It just sounds great. I mean, I got distracted here. I got an email from a listener who says that food-grade buckets might be purchased from a local bakery. But you would prefer people purchase them through you. You need to get them in to make sure they get exactly what they need.
Well, we're looking at finding other sources for those. A lot of restaurants have those buckets as well. So, a local business in the neighborhood, Hamburger Mary's, has offered their used pickle buckets, which are essentially the same thing.
Love Hamburger Mary's.
Yeah. Yeah, they're kind of our role model business in the neighborhood.
Okay, that brings up another question. Is that you've got businesses and residential involved in this? How does that work?
Yeah, so we're also working.
And how is it different from what Loyola's doing with the businesses?
Well, so we're kind of partnering with Loyola they've actually offered us a grant to try and get a certain number of businesses in the neighborhood signed up to do collection. And so we've been kind of trying to do both at the same time. So we've got a couple businesses currently picking up, including Hamburger Mary's. We're working with a local coffee shop, the Coffee Studio, to get started. Another pizza place in the neighborhood, Rinaldi's, is looking to get started as well. And then we're kind of talking to six other businesses about trying to get them started as well.
What are the obstacles to getting businesses involved?
I think affordability has definitely been a big issue.
That's why Loyola's been so important in this partnership, because their grant has helped make it affordable for the restaurants to do it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Han Pham, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago with their sustainability department, which I have to tell you, I went to a meeting in their sustainability building. Oh, my goodness. An amazing structure?
Yeah.
It is so cool. And we had the tour and they showed, they use the geothermal heating there and you walk, they have the glass floor where you can see the pipes underneath and you can even see the readout of the temperature of the liquids that are coming up from the ground and going back into. So you can stand
there.
Really?
That's good.
And then they have this beautiful, the place is just amazing.
Yeah,
so I was very
impressed.
That's
what our new composting facilities would be like, too.
I haven't seen it yet because I feel like it'll make me want to go back to school, and I can't afford that.
It almost made me want to go back to school, and I wasn't a fan of school. So,
yeah. I've heard that that's a great, great facility, and they're doing some really cool stuff. And they've been very helpful. Han has been terrific and keeping us motivated and trying to get us working on getting more businesses signed up. And the grant has helped, especially with bags.
And isn't the goal that the grant is priming the pump? Mm-hmm. That the business, what you want to see is the businesses get this partially paid for, so you get them in the door, mm-hmm. and then they say, oh, that's really not so bad, it's not so hard, and this is beneficial, so we'll stay with the program. And then as more businesses get in, theoretically, the cost will come down, right?
Yeah. And the other big part of that, too, is if you can keep a business on board long enough and they can really see the amount of, or just the shift in where their waste is going, you know, whereas they might have had a huge dumpster for just garbage every mm-hmm. week, it's going to start to drop. And then eventually they could maybe scale back on their waste contract.
Yeah.
What are your metrics right now? Do you have numbers about how successful this is?
Not really for the restaurants yet, just because we've got really only Hamburger Mary's is the only one that has started.
Hey, you restaurants in Andersonville.
Yeah,
get
please.
Involved.
Sign
All
up.
Right, if you're listening now, come on.
Step up.
Yeah.
For the residential side of the program, we've kind of got some basic numbers just based off of some surveys that we've done where we've, you know, asked people how full their bucket is each week.
Are you talking in code?
Basically.
I ask people how full their bucket is, and I usually get smacked for it, but I have no idea what that means either. So.
No, they've... Yeah, but we've, you know, based off of having 85 buckets out there, you know, we've figured the average weight for a bucket that's 50% full, 75% full, and 100% full. And so we've come to about 600 pounds a week is what we've, roughly, is what we're picking up from the residential side of the program.
Now, and I got to admit, I know you have to start someplace, mm-hmm. but it's even so, it seems modest. You know, is 80... folks and 600 pounds a week. I mean, I would like to see, you know, 10 times that number.
So picture that. I mean, the infrastructure to do this is something we're creating as we go because it didn't exist at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do have to
And
start
I understand
somewhere.
That. And I congratulate you on it. And I want it all right now.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
That's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, and there's also, I mean, there's sort of unique urban challenges, too. I mean, we were talking about why we're asking them to use our buckets. Part of it is because we write all over our buckets, mm-hmm. not garbage, do not steal, in both English and Spanish.
And I saw an article where you had a little, some trouble with that, people losing buckets or
yeah.
what happened?
Well, I mean, I think when the buckets are out in the alley, we've had, you know, an issue of people having their buckets stolen
mm-hmm.
With the compost many times.
People desperately need compost, I'm telling you.
Yeah, actually, in some cases, that's actually been the truth that it's been picked up for specifically for the food scraps. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's been a challenge for sure. I think... You know, we had a survey recently to ask people if their bucket had been stolen, you know, had they written on it. And because we've been encouraging everybody to write property of such mm-hmm. and such address, write it in English and Spanish. And 94% of the people who had their bucket stolen had not written on it. So I think that might be an issue. So we're really encouraging that to make sure that people mark on it, you know, make it ugly.
Yeah, the problem is going to make it ugly.
Bucket.
And yeah, if you have a clean bucket, it's going to get tagged anyway. So,
yeah.
Imagine somebody going out there and just
tagging
composting
buckets.
I wouldn't put it past people.
No.
All right. That is Brian Bonanno and Ellen Shepherd is here. They're from Andersonville. We're talking about some of the eco things going on there.
Real butter.
With real butter. And I want to get to some of the other activities here. I need to take care of a little business now. You guys are in Andersonville. You know the value. How was yesterday's Small Business Saturday? Did that seem to go well?
As far as I know, I was in the neighborhood a little bit, and it definitely was bustling.
Yeah.
So it's very cool.
And it was a good day for people to be out, not too cold.
Oh, it was beautiful out
yesterday. Yeah. It's kind of nice that message that we've been promoting about why it's important to shop local has gone nationally so strongly. Yeah.
It is. And I was very happy to see that whole Small Business Saturday thing. Now, what I would tell people, I would encourage them to continue to follow the spirit of Small Business Saturday. I received this message from D. Landreth Seed Company. And, of course, they're a small business and a great sponsor on the Mike Novak Show. And their quote is, people from all over the community came to visit, to chat a while, and to purchase some unique gifts for gardeners and for those who love gardening. We laughed, we hugged, we solved the problems of the world and why the local garlic crop ended up producing such small bulbs. The people who visited our shop today came because they wanted to support the small businesses in their community. Our friends across the country placed online orders, special gifts for special loved ones. There were no brawls, no tasers, no gun battles in the parking lot, no children crying their eyes out from fatigue and frustration, no exhausted parents, only laughter, hugs, and a sharing of the community spirit. The personalization that brought dignity, integrity, and compassion to the commercial transactions today is the reward in the concept of buy local, buy small. You're sort of giving
makes me want to cry.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Isn't refreshing. That a great sentiment? And even though Small Business Saturday is over, you can still support a small company. Go to LandrethSeeds.com or their Facebook page, Landreth Seed Co., or call 800-654-2407. You know what you might do? You could call 800-654-2407, say the Mike Novak Show read the thing you posted, and it's really cool. And we appreciate what you're doing. And in the coming weeks, I'll have information about their catalog. It's that time of year for seed catalogs. D. Landreth Seed Company, purveyor of fine seeds since 1784.
Hi, this is Ron Calvio from Mighty House. Are you looking for a new ride? Looking for a cool ride? Looking for a ride that you can plug in so you can flip off the guy at the gas station? Well, here's your chance to get one for as little as $40. The Illinois Solar Energy Association is raffling off a 2014 Chevy Volt, and only 3,000 tickets will be sold. So how do you win? Go to illinoisolar.org and click on the link to the Chevy Volt raffle. You can buy one ticket for $40, two tickets for $60, or four tickets for $100. All raffle proceeds will fully benefit the Illinois Solar Energy Association, a nonprofit working to advance solar energy development throughout the state of Illinois. The winner will be drawn at the ISEA member meeting on December 7th, 2013. Again, that's illinoisolar.org to buy your tickets and to get all the small print details.
Is pain keeping you from enjoying gardening? Dr. Bonnie Flaster at River North Wellness Center has gentle and effective techniques to get you out of pain and back to doing what you love. Here are two quick tips. First, remember to stretch. Second, use a timer to make sure you take breaks. Come see her at River North Wellness Center and find more tips at rivernorthwellness.com or call 312-642-7545 to make an appointment with Dr. Flaster and get back to feeling good.
Want to make a positive move in the housing market? Replace your siding and windows. You'll improve your home's look and energy efficiency, too.
Trust DR Services Unlimited, 847-998-1687 for your remodeling and energy needs. Siding, windows, solar and wind power, and more. Rated A-plus by the Better Business Bureau and recommended on Angie's List. DR is a proud member of NARI. DR provides exceptional quality at a fair price. Contact DR at 847-998-1687 or at RestoreTheNorthShore.com.
Everybody sing along.
Proprio Lillo centrò.
La pipa pure si fiammò. Is that Italian? I think it is. Anybody know? It's, well.
I don't know.
I know, I just play these things. I have no idea where they come from. Hey, let's take a phone call. We're talking to Ellen Shepherd and Brian Bonanno from Andersonville, and somehow we've gotten into composting, which is good. And Kevin is on the phone. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. I got a question on composting.
Okay.
Okay.
I can get, I think it's ash, but I can get like the sawdust from the, I work for a hammer company and they put the hammer heads on the handle and they shave off that little top. Well, we get like barrels of this dust and I want to know if I can use that for composting or anything in the garden.
Wow. Now, the question is the wood treated?
Yeah.
And I would suspect that it is because you want that handle to last a long time. Did you say it was ash?
I think it's ash. I mean, most hammers or handles are made with ash because they're really strong.
Mm-hmm. You know who would have the answer to that is, I'm going to think the folks who recycle wood products here.
Oh, Rebuilding Exchange.
Well, Rebuilding Exchange probably would know.
Yeah, and then Horrigan?
Horrigan.
Lumber.
Lumber, yeah. See, Brian knows these people. Horrigan would definitely know the answer to that. Horrigan products, let's look that up real quick and get that information because they've got, hold on, I'm looking it up.
Well, Mike, what I found is that sawdust and wood shavings from untreated wood has a 500 or up to 640 carbon to one nitrogen ratio.
Yeah.
Wow, so you have to put a lot of nitrogen to balance that. But if you could spread it out. But that's a huge high ratio. Now Horrigan, it's Horrigan Urban Forest Products Inc. And they are at HorriganUFP.com. HorriganUF as in Frank, P as in Paul.com.
Okay.
I would call them, and I'll bet because they recycle lumber. That's basically what they do. They produce high quality urban lumber from the Chicago area urban forest. They do custom milling and kiln drying. And I would think that they would know about this if anybody does.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, Kevin, if you find this out, would you get back to me on this? I'd like other folks to know about it as well.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll do that.
All right, great. Good luck, and I hope I am able to talk to you in the future about this.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
773-763-9278 is our telephone number, and people ask the most interesting things, don't they?
Hammer shavings.
And I didn't even – we got to talking about that in my household the other week, about the difference between the wood-handled hammer and metal or plastic or whatever else they use to put the. I love the old wooden hammer.
Mm-hmm.
There's just something about it that, you know. And then, of course, the head always flies off after a few years.
I've watched my dad break a window that way before.
Oh, he pulled the hammer back?
Came back and straight through the window.
Wow. So what else are you guys doing? You're doing, you know, not the composting to me is very exciting, but in Andersonville, as we mentioned before, you've been up to a lot of good within the environment.
We have been. Yeah, we've been sort of developing programs for a number of years now. Mm-hmm. Brian, I keep plugging Brian because he's been so brilliant in this stuff.
Are you compensating him handsomely, I hope, for all this stuff?
No.
There.
He direly needs a raise.
Oh, yeah. Someday. I'm okay for now, though.
You know what I can give you?
Real butter.
I'll take that, too. That's expensive these days.
Yeah. So, I mean, Brian's been kind of a genius in one really important part of our eco projects in Andersonville, which is putting taking parking spaces and turning them into green space.
Yeah. One of the things, if you walk along Clark Street and are these the people spots where they kind of. Yeah, benches and stuff. People could just sit. That's crazy. What are you nuts?
Yeah,
we're crazy.
What do you think you're doing? Tell me about people spots. How did that happen?
So it's a kind of a concept that's been brewing. Really started on the West Coast when some folks in San Francisco started Parking Day, which is where one day out of the year where they take parking spaces and turn them into little pop up parks, and then they grew that into more permanent spaces. And so we Saw that a couple years ago, I think about 2010. So an event during our summer Green Week, as we called it, we did a pop-up park in front of the Swedish Museum, and we put down sod and 18-foot trees from
I saw some pop-up parks in Milwaukee, in Logan Square also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Logan Square did it, I think, recently too. Yeah. And so this kind of, it went really well. It was a 97-degree day, but, you know, it, when the shade of the trees on the street, it was actually really comfortable and to have the grass.
In the shade of the cars in the...
Yeah, and it actually blocked out all of the noise of the traffic. And people were just like, this is such a great idea. Like, why don't we do this all the time? So we just
saw did it all the time. How many of those do you have?
We have two.
Okay.
And our most recent one went in August, and it was kind of our baby, so to speak.
We got a picture of one of them on my website, mikenovak.net. If you go to this week's show, you'll see the photo on the left side. You also have the new bike corrals.
Mm-hmm.
And how are they different from your standard bike rack?
So basically, the bike corral, it goes in the street. It gives bicyclists a designated visible space to park their bikes. It kind of draws attention to the, you know, the fact that we're putting an importance on bike infrastructure in the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Since they're in a highly visible location, they should feel more secure locking up to them. And it's really useful for businesses that see a lot of high numbers of bike customers, I guess. So businesses like the Hop Leaf in the neighborhood, whose bike corral, when it's installed, is just overflowing. You know, that looks really good. And one of the other things, too.
There's people here.
Well, and it shows that they put an importance on it. But it also actually, the nice thing, too, is it opens up that space in front of their business. Mm-hmm. So it gives it a, you know, you see a little bit more clearly the facade of the business, and it kind of just breaks up the, I guess, the sight lines of the street in a nice way.
By the way, Rob Carthol, who will be on the phone shortly here, says he uses sawdust nearly exclusively as bedding for his worm bins.
Mm.
And you haven't killed the worms yet, eh, Rob? there we go. Getting back to Andersonville, you do streetscape recycling. What do you mean by that?
So we were the first community, and I think maybe still the only community, I'm not positive about that, in Chicago to just put recycling bins out on our commercial district. And the resource center picks them up, and they guarantee, I think, a 97 or 98% recycling rate. So it's a much better guarantee than you'd get putting stuff, you know, through the city system.
99%.
Ooh, sorry.
You got a problem with the city system?
No, of course not.
No, I do. But that's me.
Yeah.
No,
so we just
I'm glad you do that.
Yeah, we got a grant through the state. We got some bins. We put them out on the street. Ken picks them up every Friday morning. Mm-hmm. And
Ken Dunn is a remarkable guy. He's he's a one man industry, recycling industry.
Definitely.
And I also noticed that, you know, you've got the farmers market, just completed the 50 years. You guys were the first to do an evening market. I didn't know that.
We were. You know, the interesting thing is when we decided to start our market, we were super interested in tying into the local food system as part of our whole ethic of localness. But it's hard to convince farmers to take a chance on a new farmers market, and especially in some place where if you're from Michigan or Wisconsin, you don't know what Andersonville is, so they didn't know.
Yeah.
And we went with an evening market both because we thought that's when our shoppers could go, but also, frankly, at the time, we couldn't get farmers on a Saturday or a Sunday because they were busy somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's try it on a Wednesday night, and it's gone beautifully.
Mm-hmm. And you've got your green building incentive. You've got your sustainability blitzes. You've got your green gift wrapping party.
Yeah, that's coming up on the 20th.
Yep. What's that? A George's Ice Cream, 5306 North Clark?
Yeah, we basically set up shop in the back of George's with a bunch of posters, blueprints from old buildings, and we basically repurpose it as wrapping paper.
Well, you're doing great stuff, so congratulations to Andersonville. And you should know, I mean, I lived in Andersonville for, I don't know, about 7 years, and in the Edgewater area for about 11 years.
Oh.
Yeah, that's my old stomping grounds. I was right on Foster and Clark.
You know,
and I love Andersonville. And I think it's a great neighborhood. And if you want more information, you can go to andersonville.org. If you want to go to Eco Andersonville, you can /eco-andersonville. And you can find it on the Andersonville homepage. It just says Eco Andersonville, and you can click on there and see what's involved. And if you do live in Andersonville, bug them anyway about recycling. Say, we, you know, 85 is not enough. It's not enough people involved.
Yeah, if you're interested in composting, please just give us a call.
Yeah. The food waste composting. So, all right. Well, thank you both for coming, schlepping all this way across town. It maybe almost took you almost 15 minutes, right?
Almost.
Yeah. How about that?
I think I did 13.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Thank you, Mike.
Did you miss Small Business Saturday yesterday? Well, never fear. I noticed somebody retweeted. They love the idea of make every day Small Business Saturday. I think that's a good thing. Every day is Small Business Day if you want it to be. And here's a place you should add to your list of quality small businesses, Bertholdt's Garden Center in Elk Grove Village. Bertholdt's is your one stop for all your Christmas greens, poinsettias, holiday decor. And next Saturday, December 7th, grab your cameras and head over to Bertholdt's, where the jolly old elf himself, Santa Claus, will be there with his reindeer from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for Bertholdt's Christmas open house. In addition, as you can imagine, there are great store-wide sales. While doing your holiday shopping, enjoy hot cider, coffee, and cookies. Bring the whole family and celebrate Christmas with the good folks at Bertholdt's. Bertholdt's Garden Center, 434 East Devon Avenue in Elk Grove Village, just west of O'Hare Airport. Look for the iconic windmill out front. Go to bertholdtsgardencenter.com or like them on Facebook. Bertholdt's, get green. Let's get growing.
ComEd Smart Ideas presents The Power of Small Changes.
Help! I'm a light bulb left on in an empty room. My energy is being wasted.
Fear not. I can help. There you go.
I'm saved.
Be a hero.
Hooray!
Save energy. Visit ComEd.com/home savings to find discounts and money-saving tips, like switching to compact fluorescents.
Visit ComEd.com/home savings.
ComEd, powering lives. This program is funded by ComEd customers in compliance with Illinois law.
The Mike Novak Show is sponsored in part by ComEd Smart Ideas. Discover instant discounts and money-saving tips at ComEd.com/home savings.
Hi, my name is Peggy, and I don't want you to be left out. Here's what I'm talking about. Each month, more people turn to Natural Awakening Chicago to improve their lives than any other health or wellness magazine. If you're a green, natural health, or wellness business, you should be part of the leading sustainability resource in the country. Natural Awakenings is packed with information that our readers use to find the products and services they need to live happier, healthier lives. Natural Awakenings is available for free each month throughout the city and north and northwest suburbs. We're placed in more than 1,100 area locations, ensuring the right eyes read about your products and services. We're also online at nachicagonorth.com. We're local, we're independent, and our readers will help you grow your business. Call us today at 847-858-3697 to learn more. That's 847-858-3697. Natural Awakenings. Feel good, live simply, laugh more.
Here's a tip from the Care of Trees. The cold weather is here, and you might want to think about getting your trees pruned this winter. There are certain advantages to getting the work done while trees are dormant. For instance, when a portion of a tree's canopy is removed during the dormant season, there is often an increase in new growth from the remaining branches. This occurs because the energy stored in the roots and branches is channeled to fewer growth points. Because the same amount of energy is spread among fewer growth points, each new shoot grows a little more than it would have had the tree not been pruned. If you want more information about this process, talk to a certified arborist at the Care of Trees. Call 800-508-9466, 800-508-9466 for a free consultation. If you call on Sunday, today, leave a message, and your call will be returned on Monday, guaranteed. 800-508-9466, or go to thecareoftrees.com. The Care of Trees, a Davey company. Their business is people and their love for trees. Yeah, we're
coming into the home stretch this first day of December on the Mike Novak Show. Listen, I want to thank everybody who listens, everybody who tweets, everybody who sends us a Facebook message and calls in and spreads the word about the show. We hope you do it with
real butter.
Okay. Let's bring in Rob Carthall on line one. Rob, why aren't you here?
Good morning.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing?
Okay.
Good.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing totally fine. And I guess I'm here to say that I'm excited about project that is coming up on Saturday, December 7th. We all know how much we hate Buckthorn and love to talk about how much we hate Buckthorn.
Ooh, bad.
Ooh, Buckthorn.
Well, brought to my attention via Twitter, Habitat 2030, which you can check out at habitat2030.org.
I got to tell you, I looked up Habitat 2030. What I like about the group, they describe themselves as a group of dynamic, young-ish volunteers.
I like that, young-ish. That's perfect.
But, you know, they're trying to build a culture of 20, 30, and 40-somethings who will understand and care about the preserves long into the future. And we really do need young folks involved. I go to meetings and I see a lot of gray hair, including my own. And so we have to suck people into this and understand that our planet's at stake and our way of our environmental way of life is at stake. So tell me about this particular project, Rob.
This particular project as the Saugeneche Prairie Grove, which is along the north branch of the Chicago River, it's like up near Bryn Mawr, and I'm looking at it on Google Maps. It's huge. We have within like the city limits of Chicago acres and acres of actual forest preserve on the northwest side, which I don't believe a lot of people are aware of. And, you know, these are great places to go out. There's trails. You can hike and see prairie and woodland any time of year. But on December 7th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m., they're going to be doing some invasive plant removal, you know, cutting away buckthorn and whatever else does not belong there. And the great part about this, especially in the winter, is that, you know, conditions permitting, they will be doing a burn of all that material, which means s'mores and potluck at the end of the afternoon.
S'mores!
So wear your long pants and your work boots and show on up and meet some people, do some great work out there. Again, if you go to habitat2030.org and just click on events, you'll find everything that you need to know over there. But, you know, this is a really... It's a great opportunity to get involved right within the city and still do some stuff that feels like you're maybe a bit further away out in the woods.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I would do is advise people while we're on the subject of this, and I don't do this often enough, and shame on me, is remind people that they can go to places like Friends of the Forest Preserves. I love Friends of the Forest Preserves because they do that kind of stuff all the time. And I'm calling up right now. I've got them here. And it's the website is FOTFP.org, as in Friends of the Forest Preserves. And you can find those kinds of activities often where they just have people come out or go to Openlands and Openlands.org or go to Friends of the Parks. You know, if you're looking for ways to give back, these are great organizations that you should be involved with, and this is a way to, you know, get those boots on, get the long underwear on, go out and feel like you've really accomplished something. That's the great thing about doing a restoration like that.
Yeah, it should be a good event, and thanks to BOUCUR, which I don't know how to say that. It's actually an abbreviation for plant, but BOUCUR on Twitter, who brought this to my attention. Always doing some restoration work out further west, but I am excited for this to come up, and I can't wait to get out there and slash and burn some buckthorn.
You know, you're a slash and burn kind of guy, Rob. I don't know if you realize that.
Well, this will be the first time I've been on a controlled burn. I did have an opportunity back in my Habitat for Humanity days to do some to do some burning down in Georgia, and I won't say exactly how far out of control that burn got, but no reflection upon Habitat for Humanity.
No, it was all you, I'm sure. Before I let you go, we get to the end of the show here. Carol and Rob and Sarah, you know, it's time to do It's a Wonderful Slice of It's a Wonderful Life. And Denny Sheeter, I can see I want him to be part of it again this year. So you guys ready to record that so we can broadcast it on the 22nd?
Sure.
Another thing I'm looking forward to.
All right. I want you all part of this. I think, Sarah, you're Zuzu. We're going to have you do Zuzu?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm a good
That's
Zuzu.
Great. Carol, I haven't figured out. I think you, I'm not sure what role you're going to play, but I got something for you.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
All right.
I'll be waiting.
We'll talk about that after the show. All right. I guess it's time to say goodbye. And at this point, everybody, we say go green or
go home.
Go home.
Thanks, Rob.